Happy Mammoth, the zero-compromise company behind Hormone Harmony, uses only clinically proven ingredients. No GMOs, fillers, or junk. Just pure, effective support. And get this, over 2.4 million women worldwide have rediscovered their vitality with Happy Mammoth. In a survey of 1,831 women, the results spoke volumes. 86% noticed easier weight management alongside a healthy lifestyle. 77% felt improvements in mood and well-being. And 100% said they finally felt like themselves again. Plus, it's backed by over 50,000 glowing reviews praising deeper sleep, calmness, and renewed energy. Ready to feel your harmonious best? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order of Hormone Harmony at happymammoth.com. Just enter code POSITIVE at checkout. Try it risk-free and join the millions who've reclaimed their spark. Visit happymammoth.com and use code POSITIVE today. Your journey to feeling balanced starts now.
Territorial spirits are principal spirits that have a demonic hold over a specific geographical location. And I'm not talking about a conspiracy theory or something that's unexplainable, like the Bermuda Triangle, a place where strange things seem to happen, a place that has reported the disappearance of dozens of ships and airplanes. When I'm talking about principalities, I really mean spiritual strongholds in a specific geographical location. In a 2015 article, the Guardian newspaper reported the following. Haiti, the saying goes, is 70% Catholic, 30% Protestant, and 100% voodoo. Voodoo is everywhere in the Caribbean nation, a spiritual system infusing everything from medicine and agriculture to cosmology and arts. In another part of the world, Scotland has a history intertwined with witchcraft dating back to the 16th and 17th century. These are only a couple of examples, but to truly understand territorial spirits or principal spirits, you really need to understand Ephesians 6, verse 12, which says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." These are ranks in the devil's kingdom. Now, a principality is defined in the dictionary as a state ruled by a prince, or the position or authority of a prince or chief ruler. A principality is a chief spirit. It's a territorial spirit that influences a specific location. Now, you may be thinking this is just a theory, but territorial spirits are mentioned in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 10, we're introduced to a principality, an evil prince angel. Daniel had prayed and prayed for days and weeks with no answer. And finally, when an angel appeared to him, the angel told him in Daniel 10, verse 13, that "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia." The evil prince of Persia fought an angel from God for 21 days, until Michael, a chief angel, a prince angel from heaven, had to come and defeat the prince of Persia. This tells you that the prince of Persia had a hold on this region. This principal spirit had such a strong and evil influence over that location that it could block and delay the answer to Daniel's prayer. Have you ever noticed that certain places have something sinister about them? Some cities or towns seem to have a prevalent spirit. Some places are given to one specific type of crime. Some towns and cities have a high and unusual activity of witchcraft. When Jesus encountered a man possessed in Mark chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, the Bible says, "For he was saying to him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' And Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' He replied, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country." Now, why would demons beg not to be sent out of the country? They were okay to be cast out of the man, but they earnestly begged Jesus so that they wouldn't be sent out of the country. Why? Because they are settled in that region. They were territorial. A story is told of one man of God who once traveled to a certain part of the world to do God's work. This remote part of the country was renowned for its occult practices and especially the practice of witchcraft. Now, as soon as this pastor stepped off the plane, he felt uneasy within his spirit. He could sense that there was a sinister aura about that place. And because he was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, he could sense and discern the evil presence in that particular place. He knew that his presence there, in that particular part of the world, made whatever spirit that was situated over that geographical area become angry and afraid because he was there to preach the gospel. Essentially, he was there to disrupt the work of whatever this evil principal spirit was. And that evening, he went to bed early. He had a full itinerary the next day. But that night, around 3 a.m, he suddenly woke up with the feeling of a heavy weight on his chest and neck area. Immediately, he was trying to open his mouth, trying to speak, but he couldn't. He was fighting to get up, trying hard to sit up, but he couldn't. And within him, he knew this was a spiritual attack. This wasn't a dream anymore. And most people will simply put this down to sleep paralysis or a nightmare, but this is where we really need the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we may have discernment and knowledge to really understand that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the unseen. The Bible spells it out clearly. We are up against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness. Do you not think that these forces will rise up in opposition? And I don't say this to scare you, but I am telling you this so that you may have knowledge. God is all-powerful. The name of Jesus is all-conquering. But if you don't know that, and if you don't know your opposition, then how will you apply that knowledge when under attack? So this man had a briefcase which was open, resting on the side of the bed next to him. And in the middle of this struggle, in the middle of that crushing feeling he was fighting, he was trying to say the name Jesus, but no sound was coming out. He was trying to slide his hand down to his Bible, but he could barely move it. And he knew for sure that this was a demonic attack because the room was filled with a fearful spirit. So while struggling to move, he started to speak in his mind. He started to recite Psalm 27. Jesus, my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Jesus, the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus, my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Jesus, the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And he kept saying it over and over again until eventually he started screaming it. Jesus, my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Jesus, the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And as he continued, he could feel that thick spirit of fear leave the room. And just as quickly as it started, it went away. You see, whatever the evil spirit was that dominated that region wanted to scare this man off. But he knew the word of God, even in the middle of a fearful attack. The next day, this pastor went out to preach God's word, and he witnessed the Spirit of the Lord move like never before. Territorial spirits are real, but the power of God is also real. Jesus Christ is real. The Holy Spirit is real. And I want you to hold on to what the Bible says. It says, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world." Talking about evil spirits is a strange thing to many of us today. However, when Jesus walked the earth, he cast out evil spirits. He rebuked them. He warned against them. And most importantly, he taught people about them. He taught people about their existence and their tactics. But today, many Christians will quite openly speak about angels, but ignore the reality of demons. Now, don't get me wrong. We are not to glorify demons. But equally, we are not to fear them. But the fact is that Jesus' ministry included teachings about demons and encounters with demon-possessed individuals. So we ought to at least be knowledgeable against the schemes of the kingdom of darkness. Now, Jesus gave us a very important teaching about unclean spirits in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. The Bible says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation." Allow me to point out a few things here. We are houses, so to speak. The Bible says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" Now, a clean house is one that the Holy Spirit dwells in. A dirty house is one that has an unclean spirit, a demonic spirit. Now, the Bible in Matthew 12:44 says, "I will return to my house from which I came." Notice how the unclean spirit takes ownership of the house, the body. The first thing it tells me is that unclean spirits have an intellect. They think. And in their thinking, if they dwell in a house, if they possess a person, they get attached to the place. Notice the language used in Matthew 12:44. "I will return to my house." Now, let's focus on this concept of an unclean spirit returning to the same house. Have you ever noticed someone who is bound by something, can be free for some time and then fall back into that very same bondage? They will be set free and delivered from a problem, an addiction, or some type of stronghold until the demon comes back to check on what it considers its house. This is why we have to be extremely diligent about our relationship with the Lord, because once you have been delivered, your house still needs to be occupied. And if that house doesn't have the fire of the Holy Spirit in it, if that house doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit in it, then it's a house that's exposed. It's a house that Jesus described as empty, swept, and put in order. But this means that the unclean spirit will go and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And the thing you will find is that when it comes to demons, that word can conjure vastly different emotions: revulsion and fear in some, laughter and entertainment in others. For many, there may be curiosity. For a few, perhaps even adoration. One thing is sure: even as culture grows increasingly skeptical, the unseen realm possesses a firm grip on the minds of many. For decades, demon possession and exorcism have been a successful trope in the entertainment industry. In 1973, The Exorcist shocked audiences, became a blockbuster hit, and launched a new genre of film. Over 50 years later, dozens upon dozens of possession and exorcism films have been produced. Many of these films have merely used shock tactics and gory effects. Others have successfully marketed their dark films as based on a true story. The horror genre may be the most natural home for demon-themed works, but it isn't the only one. From spoof movies to comic strips, Satan, demons, and hell have often been used as comedic material. Undoubtedly, there is a variety of reasons, but demon-based entertainment seems to be going strong. Perhaps people feel demons are just another form of entertainment, one trope amid many in the world of fantasy and myth. Some strange fascination may hold others. The unseen tends to have that effect. A little truth, a lot of error, and active imaginations can lead to all sorts of ideas, fears, and musings. What is clear is many do not know or understand the truth about demons. The Bible sheds light on this dark subject, and the truth of Scripture paints a vastly different picture than modern culture. On one hand, demons are surely more sinister than Hollywood will ever be able to portray. On the other, followers of Jesus need not fear the Lord's defeated enemies. Throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts, we find multiple occasions when Jesus or his disciples encountered possessed individuals. Often, these demons are referred to as unclean spirits. The conditions, details, and impact of possession varied. Some victims were grown adults. Others were children. Sometimes, a solitary spirit inhabited a person. Other times, multiple spirits did. Possession seemed to give inhuman strength. Mark 5, chapter 4 says of one man, "He had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him." Ephesians 19 recounts an event when seven non-Christian brothers attempted to cast out an evil spirit. The demon-possessed man leaped on them, beat them, and sent all of them running away, naked and wounded. The Bible demonstrates that demons tormented their hosts and made life miserable. Some unclean spirits caused their victims to be blind or mute. The legion-possessed man lived among tombs and was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. One poor father lamented to Jesus that an evil spirit would seize his only child, convulse him, and cause him to cry out and foam at the mouth. The father was sure that the demon was destroying his son. These descriptions are not the fanciful imaginings of Hollywood writers. They are truthful descriptions of possessed individuals during Jesus' earthly ministry. The prospect of demon possession would be terrifying indeed. And yet, the follower of Jesus need not give in to fear. The Bible does not record incidents of demon possession to frighten us. These records do demonstrate the hatred and evil of the enemy, but more so, they highlight the power and victory of Jesus. In many New Testament accounts, the Bible declares that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirits. Jesus did not go toe-to-toe with an equal force. Jesus stood in the position of authority and power. Jesus didn't struggle with demons. He made demands that were obeyed immediately. Jesus wasn't afraid of evil spirits. He sparked fear in them. Even when Jesus confronted a man hosting an entire legion of demons, they fell down before Jesus and begged him not to torment them. That is a far cry from the demons portrayed in movies. When demons faced off with Jesus, they knew they were beaten before a battle could even begin. Jesus gave this same power and authority to his apostles. When Jesus sent out the 12 and later the 72, they were given authority over unclean spirits. When the 72 returned, they excitedly proclaimed, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Jesus responded, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Jesus wasn't just defeating the enemy. He was protecting and empowering his followers against the enemy as well. The book of Acts tells of Peter and Paul casting out evil spirits in the same manner as Jesus had, with complete authority and assured victory. With such power and victory, followers of Jesus need not fear the enemy. It would be wise, however, for Christians to be circumspect in their actions. While we need not fear Satan and his legions, we should be wary of entertainment that focuses on and glorifies the enemy. To an unbelieving or superstitious world, demons might be fodder for intriguing entertainment. To the Lord's followers, they should be recognized for what they truly are: the enemy who hates us and hates our King. Beings who need not be feared, but beings whom we also don't want to unwittingly glorify or be entertained by. For all this, there was and is a more significant battle and a more excellent victory. In the end, Satan's goal isn't to possess and torment your physical body. His aim is your soul. His real desire is to separate you from God for eternity. But here, too, Jesus has won the victory. Through his sacrificial death and victorious resurrection, Jesus has crushed the head of the serpent and defeated Satan and his armies. For those willing to follow Jesus, he doesn't just offer protection from possession. He has won deliverance from hell itself.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.